Okay, so today I have the pleasure of speaking with world-renowned vocal coach Judy Rodman. Judy, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you very much. Glad to be with you today.
Thank you. Glad to have you. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
My background, I've been singing professionally for over 40 years, which kind of tells you my age a little bit.
But no, it doesn't. It doesn't mean anything.
I started really young. But I started when I was 17 doing jingles. Okay. And, you know, I'd sung before that, just, you know, since I was two, I guess. But doing jingles is where my real professional start happened. And then I got into, of course, in a cover band in Memphis, Tennessee. Okay. And we did all kinds of top 40 stuff. And so I got to dissect a lot of songs, which became really a good learning curve for me. That plus the jingle mill, which taught me to sing with very surgical precision. Okay. You know, I had to figure out how to protect my voice somewhat, because I was singing jingles from, I think it was 8:30 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon, and then going to my club gig, which was like 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning or something ridiculous. So that was when I was young and foolish and didn't think I'd kill my voice. But then I got sick when my son was born. Oh, wow. And the reason I'm saying this is it has a lot to do with me as a teacher, because long story short, was in the hospital like 3 months. Wow. And I was in intensive care for 7 weeks and was on a ventilator for a while. Oh, so the endotracheal tube caused damage between, my vocal cords, and they thought it was permanent scar tissue. God. Now, you got to keep in mind, I was a session singer, recording session singer for a living with my family and everything, so that was a really scary time. And it really took about 2 years to get well, but I got all of my voice and then some back with two things. One, kind of teaching myself using some Italian art songs I'd learned in college and getting my head voice going again, and then also getting with a professional coach in Nashville who dealt a lot with people that had damaged voices, and he showed me how to stop guarding, and then we built my voice back, and then I had a number one record, you know, a couple of years after that. Mm-hmm. So I know the value of really good vocal coaching. And then, you know, I had an artist career, and as things go, you know, that had some success, and then won Academy Country Music Award and did some national touring, and it was all in Tonight Show and Farm Aid, and it was all great fun. Mm-hmm. But then that just overnight just disappeared. The music business was changing so fast, and my record label went under, and so I was left with nothing to do but songwrite. So, you know, I'd been writing songs. So in songwriting, I became really a producer, because I produced a lot of my demos, and I learned a lot that way. You know, you have no idea how sometimes the very worst things that can happen to you turn out to be extremely wonderful learning curves and helps you in what you're going to do later. So then the songwriting thing, I mean, I had a number one song that Leanne Rimes cut, like, called One Way Ticket.
I because remember. I love that song.
Thank you. And, you know, and so everything was going well then. And then, you know, then things stopped going so well with songwriting. Mm-hmm. So I kind of thought to myself, okay, what can I do? And somebody asked me how to hit a high note. This person was on a friend of mine that I'd written with at Warner Chapel. Mm-hmm. And she was on the road with Lynyrd Skynyrd. And she asked me, what do you think I know? But she had learned, you know, because I've been directing people in the studio for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I've been working, you know, I would call her for sessions. And, you know, she saw me work with people in the studio, and she knew that I had some kind of gifting in that way. And so she's the reason that I started teaching. So anyway, I started teaching, and little by little found what worked, you know, why things work the way they do for me professionally. Mm-hmm. And for the other voices besides me professionally. And somehow, you know, I it's just kind of a God thing. I mean, I got the information I needed when I needed it, mm-hmm. in through books for other teachers or my chiropractor or my doctor or some, you know, just talking about the voice and learning about the voice and starting to work with students and watching what worked with them and all. And I developed my method of teaching, which I call Power Path and Performance, which is based on the cornerstones of breath, you know, the power of the breath. The path, the voice path through an open throat instead of tight throat.
Okay.
And then performance, which is physical and psychological aspects of communication. And that, I found that that's not just a logical sorting of vocal concepts, but it's synergistic. So that, you know, if you get one thing wrong in one area or right, it tends to affect the other two. Okay. And so that it's been wildly successful at helping people maximize their voices and also at helping people avoid strain and even helping people recover from damage.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty much us. And now I'm back to singing. Like last night, I've got my own group again, Judy Rodman and Six Play. My husband and I started a band, so it's full circle, and I'm back doing research for my students on stage.
That's awesome. Well, speaking of your band, how would you describe your voice?
I have a strong voice. I've always had a strong voice, but I've learned how to make it strong and yet healthy.
Okay.
So it's kind of I call it an Americana. My hits were in country. But it's kind of hard to know what country is these days. So what I do is just what my heart loves. And I love R&B from my Memphis roots. And I love, like, Sarah Bareilles, that's a smart songwriting. And so we do kind of a combination of blues and sort of country and kind of rock a little bit.
Okay.
And smart songwriting, real smart songwriting. So it's very groove-based and really good song based,
okay.
If that makes sense. I think that my band appeals to the baby boomers, as we call ourselves, who remember like the Eagles and the James Taylor and Joe Walsh, that kind of thing, you know, and Gladys Knight, and you know, that kind of thing.
So, love Gladys Knight.
Oh, she's, I got to open for her in Vegas.
Oh,
I was actually working with a band that was opening for her, mm-hmm. and got to see her live. And she's got the most vocal control. I don't think I've ever seen a singer sing with more vocal control than she does. She's amazing.
Wow, that's amazing. So basically, you appeal to anyone who knows anything about music, actually. Not
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, totally.
Anybody that really loves great songs, mm-hmm. and great groups, yeah. You know, I mean, I'm not all to all people, you know, I'm not punk rock, I'm not metal, I'm not heavy rock, mm-hmm. but that element that loves those, you know, really good songs and is into music well played and well sung.
Right. You spoke about smart songwriting. I was just curious, are you a spontaneous songwriter, or like, do you have to, are you specifically setting aside certain time to be like, okay, I'm going to write a song right now?
Both and all of the above. I have written for decades now, you know, in different, with different publishers and, you know, Warner Chappell to MCA to Chrysalis to now my own publishing company, Favorable Wind Songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I, what I do is sometimes I start with just, hearing a riff on my piano or from a guitar player, okay. and asking myself what that riff is saying, or I'll come up with the first line, or my co-writer comes up with the first line, or we'll have, you know, some kind of idea that's worth writing about, which is the most important thing. And so I come from all different places to start songs. It's I love writing that way, you know, and I really like writing from scratch, where, you know, just the spirit in the room and something, some kind of truth that we know as co-writers, if I'm co-writing,
mm-hmm.
that's what we write from.
Oh, wow. That's
and from great, you know, great riffs or great melodies.
Okay, that sounds good. What is I'm just curious what your overall vocal routine is.
My own personal?
Your own, yeah.
Warm-up. You know what's in my personal warm-up is pretty much what I teach my students, except I don't teach classical voice because I don't have that extended repertoire, you know, for classical. But because I got my voice back with the Italian songs, and it's so good for me to sing in head voice, to kind of warm that part of my voice up, mm-hmm. I usually do my vocal warm-ups, which starts with the typical lip trills and tongue trills and scales, but always pulling. In with my method, I call it pulling. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, starting in an easy range and then extending from there. The typical thing, doing some, I love doing staccato exercises, breath exercises to really get my breath pressure off my vocal cords.
Okay.
Very important. And then some, you know, jaw exercises, yeah, those kind of things to loosen up my articulation. And the bubble is really wonderful for me. Because it gets me out of my throat and into the outside, into my voice path coming from the outside. I just do anything to get my voice off my throat or out of my throat.
Okay, awesome. What are some key tips for vocal health and stamina?
Typical what?
Sorry, what are some key tips for vocal health and stamina?
Vocal health and stamina. Some non-negotiable. You know, with everybody, everybody has a little different routines. I mean, I know somebody that eats potato chips at the mic when they're doing the vocals because it makes they feel the grease. I don't know, making voice feel better. I mean, people have superstitions and stuff like that.
Okay.
But there are some things that are true for everybody,
mm-hmm.
and one biggie is sleep. You have to get some rest. I'm reminded of that every time I do a gig. I cannot do my full contingent of vocal exercises or vocal students and then go do a 90-minute gig. So, rest is so important in sleep. The other thing that's so important is hydration. The vocal cords just do not work without being hydrated, and you need to start early with the hydration.
Okay.
The other thing is be sure to warm up. And warm down after a particularly long gig.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't eat anything that causes mucus buildup.
Okay.
And that's different things for different people. But, you know, eating simply and making sure we have protein for some good. We need to have good breath support,
mm-hmm.
and we need energy for that. Real energy for singing should come from the same place you would kickbox. Not from the throat, but from the haunches, as they say, you know, the pelvic floor, that low center of power.
Okay.
So that requires energy, rest, hydration, all those things.
Okay. How does an artist know that they're damaging their voice? What are some warning signs?
A really big warning sign is when you lose the upper end of your range. When you notice that you can't sing in head voice at all, or you can't sing in head voice as high as you normally can, or falsetto for guys, the voice won't thin out enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first danger sign. Second danger sign is that you cannot not sing breathy. If you sing breathy for effect for something, that's different. But if you can't get the breathiness out of your voice,
mm-hmm.
that's the second reason I would send you to the voice clinic.
Really?
To get scoped.
Okay. So like breathy in turn, could you possibly give an example? Like of
yeah.
singing breathy?
Yes, like that.
Okay, like that. Okay. So like a mousy right. whisper kind of for your
right.
voice. Okay.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That means your cords are not closing properly, or not able to, and that might be because the edges are irritated, or it might be because there's a little bump there, caused by you know a node or a polyp.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So those are big, and also if you can't execute your vocal licks as easily,
mm-hmm.
then something is interfering with the free movement
really?
Of your vocal cords.
Okay. How important are voice lessons and ongoing vocal training to an artist's career?